Luke chapter 12, verse number 16. Now I want you to understand the difference here. The first one we'll read is a parable, but it's still a story that we really need to take heed. But the next story will be a true account of a similar situation. But it says here, and he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain man, a rich man, brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I'll pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided?
Amen.
So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Read with us here in Luke chapter number 16, verse number 19. The word of God says, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores. And he desired to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores, and it came to pass that the beggar died. And he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. So the rich man also died and was buried.
Amen.
And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. You might be seated tonight. I want to try for a little while. I've got actually three that I want to hit on. I didn't read the scripture for the third one for sake of time, but I've got three characters in the Bible that I want to preach on. I want to preach on this thought, and I'm hawking the message, or I'm hawking the title, if you would, from Brother Shaver, but I want to preach on this thought: a glad day, a sad day, and then a bad day. A glad day, a sad day, and then a bad day. And I want to study on three characters that we see in the Word of God, that we see this same trend going throughout their lives, how it starts out with a glad day, and then it turns into a sad day, and then it turns into a bad day. First off, we see here, we see two different rich men here. God gives a parable of the first one and talks about and trying to show them a picture, a type and shadow of what's going to happen if you concentrate on worldly things, concentrate on worldly gain instead of heavenly things. A lot of folks get so worldly minded they're of no heavenly good. But God wants you to concentrate on heavenly things. And tonight you may look at me and I may look to you as a beggar, and I don't have much, and I don't have much stuff to my name, and I don't have much stuff that I can show you as wealth or anything that I've got down here that's worth anything. But thank God, I'm glad that you're looking tonight at a rich man. Amen. I may not be rich in worldly things, but it said there, talking about those being rich under God. Amen. I'm glad my riches lie in a different place. But we see these men here, and we see the start of their life, and both of them start out the same way. I'll start with this rich man that he gave the parable to here, and he starts out with a glad day. He begins to look at himself and look at all of his crops and look at all of his gain, if you would. In other words, he said, look at the labor of my hands. Look what I brought forth. Look what I've done. And it was plentiful to him, and man, he was having a glad day. Everything seemed to be going his way. Other people, drought came by, and the fruit didn't grow, and the crops didn't grow, and they didn't have any food. But this man turned and looked around and saw his field. It came forth plentifully. It had produced abundantly. And he looked at it and said, look at what I've done. Look at this great thing that's come about to me. And it was a glad day for him. But then quickly, it quickly turned into a sad day. Amen. When the Holy Ghost of God stood in the presence of him and said, thou fool, today thy soul is required of thee. Oh, it turned into a sad day for him. When he said that today you're going to die, here it is. He had plans for the future. He had planned and said, well, I'm going to build bigger barns, and I'm going to put up all this stuff, and I'm going to take my rest, and I'm going to eat and drink and be merry, and everything's going to be great, and everything's going to be grand. Oh, but did he have a sad awakening when the Holy Ghost said, today your soul's required of thee. Today you're going to die. Amen. And then who's these saints are going to? All these saints that you've labored for. All these saints that you put up. Whose are they going to be now? And here it is, this man that thought he had everything. That thought he had anything at his disposal that he could ever want. And he was glad at first. But now we see him sad and heartbroken. Knowing he's going to lose everything that he worked for. He's going to lose everything that he had. And it was a bad day when he realized that he was lost without God. And he did not have preparations made for eternity. Amen. He had plenty preparations made for the physical man. He had plenty preparations made for the fruit and the labor of the ground. He prepared for everything that he could have down here on this earth and everything in this world. But he forgot to make preparations for heaven. Amen. And oh, it was a bad day when he realized, oh, it's too late. Today your soul's required of you. Today you're going to die. And it was too late at that point. Oh, what a bad day it was. You better realize that you better forsake all these other things and trust in God. You may be having a glad day, but one of these days you're going to realize that you're going to die. And all these things are going to be passed away. And these things are going to be somebody else's. Amen. They're not going to be yours. And then it's going to be a bad day when you realize that you're lost and undone without God. And that it's too late for you to do anything. Oh, I think about the rapture when you hear the trumpet sound and all those souls that God's dealt with over the past years. And they hear and see the saints of God rising. And they see the graves are bursting up. And then they realize at that point, oh no, I'm in trouble. I better pray. But yet now it's too late. You've waited too late. Oh, it's going to be a bad day if you stand by and wait too late. You better move today. Today's the day of salvation. You better get saved today while God's a dealing. Because one day it's all going to be over. Your chance is going to be gone. And we see the we see Lazarus and the rich man over here. Very familiar story that we see with Lazarus and the rich man. And this is a true account of this man here that died and went to hell. This is not a parable. This is not a story. This is not something to entertain you. This is a true application. We know that so because in a parable, they never mention anybody's name. Amen. That's exactly right. It says so and so or this. That no, they always got something to counter or to stand in place of a person's name. But here it is. It calls Lazarus by name. And we know that this is a true account in the gospel where Jesus is telling about this a certain rich man that died and went to hell. And a lot of folks say, well, that's just a parable he's trying to tell because he didn't say who the rich man was and this that. But what he was doing, he didn't want to try not to embarrass his family or try to bring any shame upon his family, the rich man. But we do see him mentioning Lazarus here by name. But we see the rich man in the same situation as that other certain rich man that Jesus talked about in Luke chapter 12. We see him having a glad day and then a sad day and then he had a bad day. Amen. I mean, here it was. The Bible says he was clothed in purple and fine linen. Everybody knows that back in the Bible days, if you wore this color purple, it was considered royalty. It was a high, costly material that only the riches of rich could have. Amen. I mean, this man had everything in his disposal. He had all the food that he wanted. He had all the clothes and the raiment that he wanted. Amen. Anything was at his disposal. I'm sure he probably had the nicest chariots. Amen. I mean, he had the nicest, biggest horses out there, more than anybody else. Amen. I believe that's right. I believe his house was bigger and better than everybody else's. I mean, he had everything at his disposal. Amen. That's exactly right. He had the big screen plasma. Amen. In his living room above his fireplace. That's right. He had everything that he could want, anything that his soul desired, he had at his disposal. Amen. This day and age, you could say like this, he had the brand new car. Amen. He had the big nice mansion down there. Amen. On Rodeo Drive. Yes, sir. I mean, he had everything that he wanted at his disposal. Millions in the bank. He had all the money if he wanted to buy something. He'd just go and get it. There wasn't nothing that was around that he wanted that he didn't have. Amen. I mean, if he wanted it, he had it. And he had had a glad day. I mean, he was happy, amen. He was satisfied with his life. I mean, he looked around and saw Lazarus out there begging and broken, amen, and looked at him and probably thought, oh, you sorry low-down dog, you ain't even worthy to come up to my door and try to beg from me, amen. I mean, the rich man would feed his dogs inside the house, but wouldn't feed that man outside his house, because he wasn't good enough, amen. He was better than everybody else, and oh, he was having a glad day. I'm sure he had all the great grand parties together, amen. He'd invite everybody over to the house, and man, they'd live it up, and they'd party and listen to the wild music, and drink the booze, amen, and get lit and get drunk, amen, and said, oh, they had a great time, and man, they was living life to the fullest, amen. They were sowing their wild oats, amen, and digging graves, yes, sir, amen. I believe that's right. I bet they had all the town women come over to entertain them, amen, to dance and parade in front of them, and probably looked back and looked at his friends and elbowed one in the side and said, look at here, look how good we got it. And look at that old man out there, old Lazarus out there begging. He ain't got nothing, amen. But look at us in here. We're having fun, amen. We're living it up. Everything's going good for us. He ain't got nothing on us. Look at what we got, amen. And he had a glad day. I mean, he was enjoying himself. He was enjoying life to the fullest, amen. I mean, he had everything that he could ever want, ever even dreamed of having. As a young boy, I believe, he sought after these things, and he fulfilled that longing, amen. He got everything he wanted, but he did not get what he needed, amen. We see him having this glad day, and I want you to understand this. He moves from a glad day to a sad day, and this is part of life that everybody's going to encounter, amen. It says that the rich man died also, amen. I believe that Brother Mitchell was talking about this girl called him and said she was in trouble, and said she was scared and things, and then he said, well, y'all can come on over. She said she was scared. She's like 12 years old or 13, something like that, maybe 14, but she was scared she was going to die and things, and so she was scared to death she's going to die. I kept telling her parents, I'm scared I'm going to die. I'm scared I'm going to die. And so they called Brother Mitchell and said, you mind if we come over and talk to you a little while? She's just scared. He said, yeah, I don't mind. Send her on over. And so the family came over and he said, what's your problem? And she said, I'm scared I'm going to die. And he looked at her and said, you are. Amen. And now I know you think he'd want to comfort her then. That's what she was looking for. Somebody to say some kind word to her. But she said, I feel like I'm going to die. And he said, you are. And that's the truth of the matter is that you're going to die. Amen. If you've been born in this life and you're breathing air right now, go ahead and bank on it. There's going to come a time that you're going to die. Amen. And that's where the rich man found himself. He could buy everything that he ever wanted except one more day of life. Amen. He could not buy any more life. He could not buy any more minutes, any more hours, any more heartbeats. Amen. When God called his number, it was time to go. Amen. And then we see a sad day. Surely people gathered around his casket. Amen. And said, oh, what a good man he was. Oh, how much good he did for the community. Oh, how he gave to this charity and to that charity, and how he helped build the World Life Center down here, amen, and helped build the multi-purpose facility, and all the money that he gave for all this stuff, how he gave money to the programs that they had around the church, all the good stuff that he done, and the preacher probably preached over him and said, a good man like that surely must be in heaven. A good man like that surely must have went and met the Lord. But you got to understand, it was a sad day when this rich man died, amen, and then it turned quickly into a bad day. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen. There was a judgment took place. Amen. We find him dying, and then the Bible says in hell he lifted his eyes. Amen. His glad day turned into a sad day and quickly turned into a very bad day for him. Amen. And you better bank on it, friend. If you've never been saved by the grace of God, you may have a glad day down here, but one day you're going to die. Amen. Everybody's going to die. It's appointed unto man a time to die. And after this, the judgment. Amen. And then if you're not saved, it's going to turn into a very bad day for you. Amen. In hell, you're going to lift your eyes, being in torments in the flame. Amen. And that word torments is a plural word. There's more than one. And Brother Toby preached on many of them this morning about the separation. Amen. And how you're separated from everybody and from God and from your family. And how there's a sight down there, things that you can see that's going through your mind, going through your memory, the preachers preaching, amen, the gospel of Jesus Christ, trying to get you into the family of God, trying to heed the warning, amen, but you would not listen, and now you see their faces, amen, right before your eyes, saying, saying, come, child, come unto me, amen. Trying and begging you to get saved with God. You better get right with God while there's yet time. Because if not, there's going to come a very bad day for you, amen. And in hell, you'll lift your eyes.
Amen, preacher.
It was a glad day, but then it was a sad day. Then it was a very bad day, amen, for this man.
Amen.
Man, I want to look at another man tonight that goes through the same thing, except he had one more day. I want to look at Jesus Christ for a little while. We see over in Luke chapter 23, it starts to give the crucifixion of Christ, and it talks about how he's led to Pilate and these others, and how they're going to lead him to Golgotha here. But let me start out with this. One day there was a glad day, a very glad day, amen, at the birth of Jesus Christ. Thank God, news had been spread abroad all through the Old Testament. They had prophesied about this Messiah to come, amen. They had prophesied about this one that's going to be born of a virgin, amen. Thank God, but one glorious day. One glad day, thank God. The news was spread abroad that he's here, amen. That one that was promised, amen, is over there in Bethlehem. He's lying in a manger, yes. Amen. And the angels began to come and tell all the sheep, shepherds and all those other men that this one's come. The wise men told them about he's here. Told the wise men to follow the stars. Told the shepherds over there where he laid. Go see him where he laid, amen. Thank God, I'm glad it was a glad day, and though there might have been turmoil going around, bad things may have been happening, amen. Folks may have been making fun of Mary and ridiculing her for her situation there, not understanding how the Holy Ghost was working, but yet it was a glad day for them, amen. When they come to the inn and said, there's no room for you in the inn, amen. And folks still today in their hearts and in their lives are saying, there's no room for Jesus Christ here. Send him away. Send him somewhere else. But thank God, I'm glad there was a lowly stable over there, and they took him over. Oh, glad day, happy day, when the Lord Jesus Christ was born in a manger over there. Oh, well, it was a glad day when he began to teach those scribes down there. He began to teach the doctors and the lawyers. He began teaching and said, I'm up and about my Father's business. This is what I got to be doing. This is what he bid me to do, and this is what I have to do. Oh, it was a glad day when he began to turn the water into wine, amen, and the blind men that would pass by began to receive their sight. Oh, it was a glad day. And then there'd be some that couldn't walk, and they'd begin to start walking, amen. Some that couldn't see, and they'd receive their sight. And right. Those were taught that was dumb, amen. And then he'd tell them, go and tell nobody about these things. Don't say anything about what's happening. Oh, but it was a glad day, and they couldn't keep quiet about it, amen. I wonder who have you told today, amen, about your glad day. If you've had a glad day and experience with him, I wonder how many you told. Satan told you, don't tell anybody. You just keep quiet. I wonder how many of you listened, or how many of you said, well, I just can't help it. I got to tell them anyway, amen. Thank God. It was a glad day when this began to happen, and these signs and these wonders began to come together, and they began to realize that this was the Son of God. It was a glad day, for it was prophesied that the Messiah would come, and the blind would receive their sight, and the deaf would hear, and the dumb would speak, and the dead would be raised again. This was a sign unto him. And so this was a happy day when he began to perform these miracles. It was a happy day unto them to know that this was the Messiah to come. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Oh, it was a happy day when he began to calm the waters out on the sea. And it was a happy day, amen, when he began to feed the 5,000 over there on the hillside. Oh, yes. Oh, just 2 fishes and 5 loaves of bread. Begin to hand out blessings after blessings. Amen. Those in the back row, I didn't even know where their blessing came from. All they know is they got to partake of it. Amen. I thank God for that. Those handfuls of purpose Brother Michael preached on. I mean, it was handfuls that he'd pulled off. Amen. Them handfuls that they got to take of and they got the taste of. Oh, it was a happy day when he began to do these things. And I cast the demons out of a many that was devil possessed. And I healed the sick, amen, and saved the lost souls. Oh, yes, there was many came to him that was lost and undone. And he told them, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole. Go and sin no more, amen. Thank God for that. I'm glad it was a glad day when he was born. And it was a glad day when he lived, amen. But his glad day turned into a sad day. You know, we're preaching on a glad day, a sad day, and then a bad day. But his glad day turned into a sad day when they lead my Lord Jesus Christ, the darling Son of God. And they lead him to Pilate, and they lead him to these others, and they begin to try him. And then they cried unto the chief priest here. They cried unto him, crucify him, and said, well, I'll return one to you. Which one do you want? We can return one back to you, either Barabbas, one that has killed and murdered and tried to overthrow the government, or we can give you this Jesus, whom I find no fault in. And oh, it was a sad day when the crowd began to cry out, crucify him, crucify him. They wanted to put him to death. They wanted to put him to shame. And how they led him over to the place of the skull, amen, where they would begin to beat him and try to kill him there on the whipping post with a man with a cat of nine tails. And how they would rip the flesh from him and rip the flesh from his body. Now you say, well, I don't know if it was a sad day. Oh, I tell you, those folks that loved him, his mother and those disciples, the one that whom Jesus loved, amen, was standing by watching this take place, amen, and watching this encounter, and they were seeing their starling Son of God, their friend, their son beaten there on the whipping post, and they really didn't understand exactly why. They knew that he said that I must die, and it's good that I go away. I got to die, and I got to give my soul a sacrifice, and if I die, then I'm going to raise again. But they really didn't understand it, and they're standing here watching, and oh, it's a sad day when they begin to beat him and begin to rip the flesh from him, and his organs begin to hang out, and how they put the cross on his back, a cross that he did not make, amen, a cross that he did not deserve, but it was a cross that only he could carry, amen. It wasn't a cross that we could carry. It wasn't my cross. It was a cross that Barabbas made, but it was the only cross. It was a cross that only he could carry, amen. Now thank God, I'm glad that he carried the cross, but it was a sad day in this encounter, but he began to carry the cross anyway, and when he decided that it was just too much, it was too heavy, and he was just going to quit, I'm glad he just pressed on a little bit harder. He scotched his heels, as Brother Ronnie Jones says. I don't know exactly what that means, but I believe it's something good, amen. And now I scotched the trailer tire one time, and it kept the trailer from moving, and so I guess if you scotch your heels, you just decide, I ain't going to move, amen. I'm just going to do what I got to do, no matter what men may think, amen. And now he scotched his heels and picked up the cross a little bit and said, I'm going to go on anyway. There's going to be some folks that need a salvation, and this is the only way. God does require a blood sacrifice, and this is the only way. There was no other cup that could have been drunk. There was no other way this could have taken place. The only way was the death of the darling Son of God, a perfect and holy sacrifice on Calvary's hill. And so he pressed on a little further and said, I'm doing it because I love these people. I'm doing it to give them a way out, amen. Give them a way they can become righteous, amen. These folks know no righteousness, but they can become the righteous through Christ Jesus, amen. And it was a sad day as he began to do this. Others from the crowd are watching, and they're laughing and they're mocking. And there's a lot of folks today, they see us up here preaching. They see us trying to live for God. They see us trying to do right, amen, and trying to take a stand in this day. And they're standing by and they're laughing, and they're pointing and they're mocking, and they're making fun of the people of God. But they don't understand why we do what we do. And they didn't understand then why he was doing what he was doing. They didn't understand, and could not understand why it was that he would be willing to give his life for his people, amen, to give his life for the sheep, to lay his life down and not even fight, not even try to escape, and not even try to get away. They didn't understand it. To them, it was something that was funny. It was something that was a good scene that they would joke and they'd poke fun at him, and they would cover his face up and hit him on the face and say, prophesy unto us who it was that hit you, amen. They'd pull his beard out and they'd spit in his face and they'd do all these things to him. Brother Toby talks about how after they beat him with those cat of nine tails, they put that purple robe on him, that thing that signifies royalness, and they put that on him, talking about a hell, a king of the Jews. And then after the robe would dry, they would take and they'd rip that back off, reopening the wounds there on the back of this man. And to them it was a show. To them it was something that was fun. But to those that loved him, to those that cared about him, it was a very sad day.
Amen.
Then the sad day began to get sadder, amen. And they began to nail him to the cross.
Yes, sir.
One drive after the other. You can hear the hammer nail. You can hear the men nail him down. And how they laid the other arm down, they begin to nail it.
Yes.
One drive after the other. Oh, the sad day is getting more sad.
Amen.
Oh, the sad day is starting to turn bad. Amen. Yes. They begin to nail his feet. on the cross of Calvary. And we see the blood dripping down as these men nail him to the cross. As he laid his life down for me and you, this sad day begins to turn into a bad day. And then as they begin to stand the cross up and drop it down into the place, you hear a big thud and all of his joints rip and his tendons pull, amen, and his body comes out of joint. Amen, here it is. And he can hardly breathe, can't hardly pull himself up to breathe. And he's being in torture, amen. And this sad day is turning into a very bad day. And then it does turn into that very bad day when the Father looks down from heaven and he turns his back on his Son. And everything gets dark, amen. I mean, he turns his back. And Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And now here it is, while he's up on the cross, he said, I thirst, amen. And now they pose the question, why did he thirst? Why did he say he thirsty? Do you think he was really thirsty? Or do you think it was something else? And Brother Shaver said that he thinks he was thirsting for that communion with God. God has turned his back on him. And he was thirsty for that communion once again to the Father and to the Son. Brother Roddy Jones said this. He said he tasted hell for us. He said, I believe he was down in hell. And he thought, as that rich man, if I could get one drop of water on my tongue, I'm thirsty. I'm thirsting. And here it is that he said on the cross, I thirst, amen. When his Father had turned his back, and he said, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? And then it came down to the point, after he talked to the two thieves, one got saved, amen. One got gloriously saved. That's exactly right, amen. Man, and one died and had a very bad day. But here it is that he gave up the ghost, the Bible said. And they came by and they poked the spear in his side. They didn't break his legs. It was prophesied that no bone would be broken. Amen. But they did pierce the spear in his side. And out with a flow of blood and water. Amen. And it had turned now into a very bad day. The mother and these other disciples had seen their friend and their son die on the cross of Calvary. They see and pulling his body down. It's lifeless. There's no life there. It's turned into a very bad day for them. I mean, here it is. He talks about how he's going to be with them always, even until the end of the world. And he told them about he's going to rise again, but they didn't understand it to the full sense of it. And they began to have a bad day. And everything seemed to be falling apart for them. And everything seemed to be going bad. Amen. And then they placed him in a borrowed tomb. That's exactly right. Never to be used again. Amen. And he didn't need it very long. I'm glad that his very bad day, he went from a glad day to a sad day to a bad day, amen. And then I'm glad that there was a new day. Oh yes, I thank God for that. I'm glad there was a new day. There was a victorious day. I'm glad that he did give his life on Calvary. He did lay his life down. He did die. And they did place him in the tomb. But thank God he didn't stay there. After 3 days, he rose again, victorious over death, hell, and the grave, amen. He conquered death for us. Amen. He tasted death for every man. That we don't have to go that route. Amen. Thank God I'm glad there was a new day. Thank God I'm glad there's a victorious day. It may have been a bad day for a little while, but it was only bad for a short while. Amen. This time things may seem bad. They may seem bleak, but they'll only be bad for a little while. Amen. There's a new day coming. Amen. Thank God for that. Oh yes, there's a victorious day. One day we will overcome. Amen. If we'll just stick with him.
Amen.
Amen. There's a new day when he rose. Yes, right. Over in Luke chapter 24. Amen. Yes. Resurrection day. There was a new day, amen. It may have been a bad day for a short while, but I'm glad for the new day. Oh, yes. And I'm glad that because of the new day, you don't have to have a bad day. That's exactly right. I believe, thank God, that Lazarus was trusting in this risen Savior. Now, I understand that he wasn't living in the time period where Christ had died, but he was living under the promise that the Messiah was going to come and that he was going to give his life, amen. And I believe he was living his life toward that new day, amen. And we see him, he didn't have a bad day after he died like the rich man did. He may have had a bad day in man's sense down here, thank God. It may have been a sad day when he died, but thank God when he went to Abraham's bosoms, it was a glad day, amen. It wasn't sad for him, amen. Thank God. He was carried away into Abraham's bosom, amen. And the rich man was burning in hell. Oh, it may have seemed bad for Lazarus and good for the rich man, but in the end, it was quite opposite. That rich man that thought he had everything and thought he had everything together and wasn't scared of nothing. Didn't care about anything. Had everything he could ever want. I thought Lazarus was nothing and that he didn't have anything and that he was a nobody and was worthless. Amen. At the end of the story or at the end of the setting, we see that he was wrong. Amen. He was altogether wrong. He was altogether mistaken. Amen. Lazarus had the good part. Amen. Lazarus had something down inside that made it when he passed out from that sad day. It made him have a glad day. Amen. Wonder where your heart is tonight. I don't know where you stand with God. Maybe you're in that place where you're having a glad day and you think that you got it all together. And you think that that nothing bad is going to happen to you and that you got everything that you need. And maybe you think here tonight that I'm young and it really don't matter. I'll get saved later on. And you think you got all the time in the world. But let me tell you that death is no respecter of person.
Amen.
And they was talking about many up at the camp meeting. Someone was talking about young people. Brother Shavers, I believe, was talking about a man that was about 22 years old, left his walks of life, and playing on the computer, had convulsions, carried away in an ambulance, died in the ambulance on the way to the hospital. 22 years old. Amen. Death has no respect to person. Amen.
Amen.
You better make sure that you get saved while God's dealing with you. Now, don't wait too late, because if you do, you're going to have a very bad day. It's either turn or burn. It's get right or get left. Amen. It's repent or perish, and that's the only way. It don't matter what you might think in your mind. It don't matter how you might think it's going to end up. That's reality. Amen. That's what's going to have to happen. You're going to have to get right with God. Sell out yourself to God. Amen. Take sides with God against yourself. Repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank God. I'm glad what Brother Shaver said. He talked about that faith, and he said faith comes before feelings. He said a lot of these people in churches, all they're looking for is a feeling. All they want is to feel something. Amen. But faith comes before feelings. Amen. And when you get saved, skyrockets ain't going to go off. Earthquakes ain't going to happen. Amen. You're going to get saved by faith like everybody else did. Trusting in God. And then God will give you feelings to go along with your faith. Amen. You got to trust in Him with your whole heart. Amen. Come to Him with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. If you would come with a song tonight. Stand with us. Oh no, what's your heart like? The thing is that me and you sitting by, we can't, Brother John, we can't look at somebody and tell if they're saved or not. That's between them and the Lord. But I guarantee you, those that are lost know they're lost. Amen. When God convicts you and He shows you, you know you're lost. Now, like what the preacher said, talked about this, and Brother Mitchell, he said this is Mitchell theology, and I like it, so I'm going to adopt it, so I'm going to call it New Mitchell theology. But he talked about how when everybody's born, their name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And that has to be the case, because if a child dies, it goes to heaven. I believe that. And you can't go to heaven unless your name's in the Lamb's Book of Life. When you're born, your name's in the Lamb's Book of Life. And that when you come to the age where you understand and God begins to deal with you and show you your sins, you realize you're a sinner on your way to hell. Your name is covered up with those sins. It's blotted out. Then when you come to the knowledge of God and you get saved, birth in the family of God by the grace of God, that blood washes those sins away and reveals your name. There's a lot of you here that your name's blotted out. I believe that. I believe we've got some here that's lost. Your name's blotted out. You know that you're lost. You know God died, Jesus died for you, and gave His life for you. You know you need to be saved, amen. And your name's blotted out. But all you got to do is come down. He can wash those sins away. Restore your name to the book once again. And you can have a new name. Written down in glory. Amen. Thank God for that. Let me read this. Then they're going to sing. And I saw the dead, small and great. This is Revelation chapter 20. Stand before God, and the books were open. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And the death and hell were delivered up. And the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. It's a place I want you to understand here. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life, your name was blotted out. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast to the lake of fire.
Yes, sir.
My friend, it's turn or burn. It's get right or get left. You're either going to have your sins washed away or your name's going to be blotted out. And hell's going to be your home. There's no in between. It's exactly right. There's no in between. I can't understand God sending a message on hell this morning and sending one tonight, and there's not somebody that needs to be saved. Brother Milby said this. He said, if the Lord's dealing with your heart, at least come down. Show Him that you care. Just show Him you're interested. Show Him that you care. You may not get saved, but show Him that you care. Come pray. Try to find your way to God. Amen. If He's dealing, I ain't trying to get you to come down. If He ain't dealing with you, it ain't going to do you no good. But if He's dealing with you, come show Him that you care. Amen. Y'all sing.
380.